item 8 from the Director of Risk Management, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report on the usage and administration of the Family Medical Leave Act at Milwaukee County. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Director.
Good morning, Chairman. Oh, I'm sorry?
If you could introduce yourself again for committee.
Yes, good morning, Chairman, Supervisors. I'm Amy Pahacek, the Director of Risk Management here from Milwaukee County. I am here to provide an informational report on Family Medical Leave Act administration here at the county per the request of the committee. I'll be respectful of your time, and I'll try and be brief here, but this is a somewhat long report. The history of family medical leave is that it was a federal regulation passed in 1993 that allows eligible employees up to 12 weeks of job-protected leave for a variety of conditions, but mainly serious health conditions of the employee, serious health conditions of members of the employee's family, birth or adoption of a child, or several circumstances related to active military duty. There are basically two types of FMLA leave. There is the single block of time, which is a continuous leave, and then the intermittent leave. And those definitions are a little bit important when I get to the data component of my informational report. But a continuous single block of time would be if I had a child and I took 6 weeks off following the birth of the child, it would be that consecutive 6 weeks. An example of intermittent would be if I had a medical condition such as migraine headaches and my physician certified me to take a couple days off intermittently when the headaches would flare up. The doctor would basically project maybe 2 days a month for the rest of the year. So I would potentially miss up to 24 days on an intermittent leave, but they would be sporadic days. So the background
can you
of
just,
how...
explain why that's in somewhat... One of the reasons that's significant is that the impact had previously somewhat been overstated to us in terms of some of the numbers.
Yeah, I can explain that when I get to that data. I'll definitely flesh that out for you. But the background, just really quickly, is FMLA used to be administered here at the county in a decentralized fashion. So the HR generalists who are sort of within the departments would handle the leave administration for those departments. In January of 2013, that process was moved to a centralized process. The reason that happened was there is some inherent liability associated with administering leaves with multiple people in different departments. There is some discretion, and if we approve a leave for one person and there could be a different person who has that leave in a different department and we would deny that, that does cause some liability for us because we do need to be treating everybody equally under this federal regulation. So the other reason it was brought to a centralized administration process was that there is an element of protected health information from our employees who are submitting for these leaves, and that information should not be privy to their immediate supervisors. It is, like I said, protected. So administering leave in a centralized manner is pretty consistent with best practices throughout the country. So that's what happened in January of 2013. It was brought under risk management in a centralized manner. That being said, there are still some challenges from a centralized process administration, which is that we are very manually and sort of laboriously, intensively administering this leave. We're mailing out packets, we're receiving faxes in, and we are monitoring all of the hours and leave for the employees on an Excel spreadsheet. So that in and of itself is kind of ripe for human error and data entry error and has caused the county some problems in the past. Going on to the usage, Milwaukee County has approximately 4,760 employees. In 2012, there were reportedly 3,800 leaves taken under FMLA. I have the asterisk there because that is the number that HR provided for 2012, and that number is accurate, but it depends on how you define leave. So when I talked a little bit about the intermittent aspect of leave, the way that I'm choosing to track leave now in risk management is I am counting leaves per medical certification, and if I'm out intermittently and leaving 2 days per month throughout the year, I'm not going to count each of those 2 days as a new leave because it ties back to one certification, although that number is significant for the fact that every time as an employee I take off intermittently, there is a huge administrative impact with that, as I'm submitting more forms, it has to be processed and it has to be recorded. So again, that number is under a slightly different definition of total leaves than I've used in the graphs that I've provided to you. So the breakdown is on page 2 and page 3, and we've broken it down between the single block, the intermittent, the denials, and then that administrative impact column, that last column, is the amount of individual separate leaves that could tie back to one medical certification under an intermittent, if that makes sense. So when we talk about the administrative impact, we've got a 4,202 number there for the amount of leaves last year. That would be using the previous definition of leaves. I have calculated as 1,318. That's the amount of medical certifications we received. Under either definition, these are large numbers to be tracking the way that we're tracking. Are there any questions about that?
Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Director Pahacek. I know you've been with us about 4 months.
Correct.
Wow. And made quite an impact in the brief time that you've been here. When you look at these numbers, they're huge. Might be an unfair question, but when I look at administrative impact, is there a threshold that you would say that, you know, and I just heard your definition, and so it probably doesn't make sense, but, you know, if I said any department over 400 on an administrative impact, would that be fair to say that, you know, this is something that we need to target to find out, you know, what exactly is going on there, because these numbers are high. And 400 might be not your number. It might be 300, it might be 500 or whatever. But using the 400 number, that would mean that that BHD, Behavioral Health Division, would come under some increased scrutiny. That would mean that the Department of Public Works would come under some increased scrutiny. In the Sheriff's Department / HOC, that is numbers that are beyond, I think, a normal impact. So I guess where do we go from here then? This is good information for us as in essence, the Board of Directors, to see how we can efficiently manage the money of our constituents, thus the taxpayers. What is your strategy? And then have you thought about when we're going to revisit these numbers again to see if we've made any changes and you know where we need to continue to work?
Absolutely, Chairman, Supervisors. That is an excellent question. I can only state that the numbers are high from my own personal experience as the prior risk manager for Lake County, Illinois. Again, Lake County, Milwaukee County, very similar size, scope, and exposure. In Lake County, we annually had 300 leaves. So under any definition, I agree with you, the numbers are high. It does beg the question, maybe for a root cause analysis, as to what could be possibly driving those numbers. I have started some of those conversations and looking at perhaps attendance policies and staffing levels, but those decisions ultimately do not rest with me, and I do unfortunately still have the obligation to administer the leaves regardless of the numbers properly for the county. I don't know if that answers your question, but those conversations have started at my level with various departments, but I'm not the decision maker on some of those.
Mr. Chairman, I understand that, and now with the whole state, in essence, takeover of BHD, I'm not sure what kind of role Milwaukee County is actually going to have as far as a say in the matter. But what I would hope is that, you know, as budget deliberations start taking place in the fall, and the Finance Committee in particular, as they look at different departments, really question some of these numbers because, this is wasted taxpayer money. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And so you cannot say that we're properly utilizing those resources when we've got these kinds of circumstances taking place in this government. And so I think it's a great start, and I would hope that whatever suggestions you could provide to us as policymakers to provide to Mr. Tyler. He is your boss, right?
Correct.
Yes, Mr. Tyler. And so, I would like to think that this is something that we will be following as time moves on. So thank you for the start of this.
Supervisor Weisser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the report. I think what this points out is that people keep on glorifying the fact that we've reduced our workforce. The reason that, we've gotten to this point and we have this is because I believe it's a sign that we've reduced it too low, and that now you're seeing the negative effects on that. When you stress people out, they're forced to go to extremes to use federal regulations to protect their jobs. It also, to me, is a red flag that our management techniques and what do we actually have in place to train those mid-level and upper-level management positions. Are we just, because Bob was really good at driving a snowplow, we put him in charge of everything, and he turns out to be a terrible manager that nobody wants to work for and creates a terrible work environment. So are we really putting the money into the training to train management on how they're supposed to relate to people and those interpersonal skills that are required to be in a supervisory position? And this, people think that because we've reduced the workforce that we've saved money. This is where you end up with people then take off, people get overstressed, people make mistakes, they get in accidents, they do things, they provide poor quality service to our constituents, and in the long run, it costs you more money on stuff, whether it's lawsuits or property damage or things like that. And not to mention, nobody then wants to come and work for an organization that has, everybody says, oh, well, yeah, they tell you you're going to work 40 hours a week, but guess what? You're not, because there's forced overtime and it's a terrible work environment. So it really undercuts your recruitment abilities to recruit qualified people to come and work for your organization. So I would remind everybody on the board and when the county exec, when they all love to say, and we had this conversation in Transportation Public Works the other day about how they were glorifying that we've reduced our workforce and that's why we need to get rid of all this property because we don't need all this office space and stuff anymore. This report, I think, points out that we've gone well more than a step in the wrong direction when it comes to the number of county employees. I said, not really a question for you, but thanks for your report. I think we need somebody in your position to advocate that there has to be some management changes and the training part on it. You just can't promote people and think they're going to be quality managers. Thank you.
Other questions or comments from committee? Ms. Bacha.
Chairman, supervisors, I just have one last portion of this report that I would like to get to very quickly. That would be the compliance agreement portion. I did want to point out to you that we are currently under a compliance agreement with the Department of Labor for some complaints about our prior administration of FML leave. So there are concerns that the federal government has about our current process. I do share those concerns. Again, now this is specifically only to the administration and monitoring of these leaves and tracking them. And to that end, I've made a cross-functional multi-jurisdictional work group to look at our current process. If you recall, this is the process I described where we're mailing out packets, we're using fax machines, and we're using Excel spreadsheets to track a substantial amount of data, and that has caused in the past some data entry errors, which the federal government is not pleased with. So we are, as a work group, there are representatives from Risk Management, Human Resources, IMSD, the Comptroller's Office, and Corporation Counsel. We have developed a couple of alternative solutions for purely the administration process. We're doing a cost-benefit analysis and trying to determine what is the best way to administer these leaves in any amount that they they come in that's most efficient and cost-effective and the most accurate for both the organization and the employees. So just wanted to mention that last portion of it.
On that, the concerns they had about timing and whatnot, have those been resolved on a going-forward basis?
Chairman, supervisors, yes, they've completely resolved. At the beginning of the year when I first got here, we brought in a temporary employee to get the backlog, fleshed out. And since then, we have not had any complaints with the way that leave has been administered in 2014. So we are fully up to date, completely compliant at this time. We're following the compliance agreement, and I hope to be able to continue that.
Supervisor Johnson, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Pahacek, with respect to the compliance agreement between Milwaukee County and the Department of Labor, when was this, I take it this was entered into during 2014?
Chairman, supervisors, correct. I signed this agreement in May of 2014. It was actually my second day on the job that I had a four-hour, that's not an exaggeration, four-hour conversation with the Department of Labor about some of the complaints that had occurred over the prior years. So I have been actively working with them. We've got a great open communication. We jointly sort of developed this compliance agreement, and we have yet to waver from it, so hopefully we can continue on.
Well, and thanks for sticking around.
You're welcome.
And, my follow-up question is, for the time that was reviewed for which this compliance agreement has gone into effect, what was that time period? Was it looking at FMLA schedule record for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
Chairman, supervisors, so if I understand your question correctly, Supervisor Johnson, I believe that you're asking what portion of time the federal government had an issue with our administration? Okay, so what occurred was there were, I believe, six complaints with the Department of Labor that occurred for administration in 2013. That was the impetus behind this agreement being authored.
So there was a four-hour discussion regarding what happened with six people?
Correct.
Besides the numbers, I guess you and your staff could present numbers over a specified period of time. To the Department of Labor to work toward this compliance agreement, but the impetus was the sixth complaint.
Correct. Right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Director. I don't see any further.
It is information. I would like to make the motion to receive and place on file.
Okay. The motion is to receive and place on file by Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you.
On the motion.
Supervisors Borkowski.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Saskunas.
Excused.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Six ayes, zero noes. The motion to receive and place on file prevails.
Thank you. Item 9.